Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Father. Lord, we're so excited. We're so excited, just like little kids. We are your kids. We are your children. We thank you. We thank you for eternity and for what is in front of us, for the coming of our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the end time events. We thank you that we're living so close to those end time events. Father, we worship you. We thank you that by Christ, by the second member of the Godhead, you created all of the worlds and all the planets, the stars, the sun and the moon. And we thank you that you placed man on this planet and angels about him for this purpose, for this season, for this dispensation that we call planet Earth. But Lord, we understand that these days are shortened. These days are coming to an end. And Father, all things were released from him. They came out of him. All of the stars, the planets, the creation of man, angels, for this purpose, for a family. Billions of years before we were ever created, Lord, you had the contemplation of our creation. And Lord, from him all things came. And now we are getting close that all things will go back to him. All stars and all planets will go back into him, and he will recreate, reform. All angels will be judged. All humanity that has ever existed will once again live, and they will stand before the throne. And all things that came from him, left him, will come back to him and will stand before him, and we will once again begin where we started off at the beginning, which is Christ. And we thank you that while this is happening, that Lord, that one day, that the record of heaven will record that there was a great battle fought and won for a region in Florida for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are a part of it. Now let us see the glory days. We receive them and say that they are now among us and that we walk in them. Lord, let them not be hid from us. Let us see that now you are here, that now that we go forward. Father, we thank you that Immokalee and this region is in revival. From you all things have come, and now all things go back to you. And as we march towards the end, let us see this great outpouring. Let us see the harvest. Let us see this church filled to capacity and running over, and service after Sunday, service after service. Lord, early services, late services, services that we cannot keep all the people, put all the people in this place, but not just this place, but an outreach throughout this area and throughout this portion of Florida. Lord, we thank you. From him went all things. Now to him goes back all things for the purpose of all eternity. We love you, Jesus. We bless. Thank you for this house tonight and all your people. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Why don't you just stand once again, and why don't you give somebody a hug? Well, we will give you an opportunity before you leave tonight, if for no other way, but to have Olivia set some baskets up here at the close of the service. So be listening to the Holy Spirit. We do appreciate your giving, and it really means a lot. And I know that it's a walk of faith for so many of you. It's a walk of faith even if you've got millions. You should be doing it by faith. And so everything that we do is by faith, and so we just appreciate everything that you give. Everything is so appreciated, and praise God. We're going to have all the money that's necessary for this outpouring, that's for sure. He wouldn't ask us to do something and then not give us the tools to do it. There's no way. So we so much appreciate. So, hallelujah. Thank you all for coming.
We're going to continue in Faith Series 101 tonight. Tonight's actually the 10th message. Can you believe that? It's pretty cool, right? I think we're going to forego our Sunday school song this evening. And but like I said, I'm so glad to see Matt and Marie and the kids back, and the guys, the Plamondon boys, men, showed up just here just a little bit ago, and they've been on the road for a while with the mom and dad and the rest of the family. So praise God. We've got people coming in now that that are really hungry for the Lord. You're hungry for the Lord. There's some people that you've met that I've introduced on Sundays that are coming over every Sunday, and a couple of young men, Kevin and Ian, and Kevin's fiance, and I'm so glad to see certain of our elders that have taken up with them. And I was going to say, any of you that know the walk and understand what's going on, put your arms around these people and bring them in. And I was talking to Reuben about it, and I wanted to say to some of you, take them out, eat with them, be a part. And Reuben's already done that a couple times, so he's ahead of he and Delia. And so they're hungry. They're very hungry. We've got other visitors that are coming in that are very hungry. Continue to pray for Adolfo Garcia, and born again, spirit filled a few weeks ago. He has a uphill battle in front of him, but the grace of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you excited? I am, and you are too. Hallelujah. So Homer called. He was coming tonight, and he had a propane emergency in Clewiston. Is that where it was? They were having a leak over there, and it was supposed to be possibly on the news. They could have an explosion or whatever. Was it a big gas facility? So in Jesus' name, we pray right now that no calamity take place and that that's all shut down. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. This is so wonderful just to meet together. I thank you, Father. I anticipate the Friday nights in which we'll come together and spend some all-night worship services very soon in our future. Lord, I thank you for the ability to speak life over this, implement life, do everything that we possibly can, not through the mechanics. We seek not mechanics, but we seek fellowship. But out of that fellowship, teach us to pray. Teach us to worship. Teach us to confess. Teach us every kind of tool and inroad that there is to receive more of who we are, who truly you have made us to be. The realization of that has not yet fully affected us. It's not fully come to a place where it's totally illuminated us to where that we know every day. We think we know, and we enjoy the part of what we do know, but Lord, there's so much more. There is the place that he enjoyed with you, a constant fellowship, a constant place of renewal, a constant place of every time that he was battered against by Satan and reviled against, there was a continual, had to be, a refreshing of the Holy Spirit in which he knew best how to yield to. Teach us. We have not yet learned. I know I have not yet learned. I think and believe that I speak for us that we have not yet learned completely how to yield, but we pray that you will teach us to yield to the outpouring, to yield to your goodness, to yield to what has already been released. Father, we thank you for what we're understanding. Lord, even in this series, this path of understanding and just the foundation, these simple truths, but yet they are so powerful. And Father, we thank you for the grace of God in tonight's message, and we receive it by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. I want to read to you go here to my email. This was sent to me by a brother in the Lord that is in another state. We have been, of course, on this faith series, and it's on the website, but we also have produced some notes. Those notes are not, they're not by any means literary, you know, something to really look at and say that they're not a wow, but they're just something for you to look at, scribble on, say I disagree with on the side, you know, with what pastor is trying to present. I'm just kidding about that. And but we have, I think, some more of those for you tonight. We'll pass out in a few moments, but they're very, very abbreviated. But we sent him, emailed him some notes at his request, and also he's been listening to the website. But some of the points that he brought forth in a thank you was so gratifying because it expressed so many of the main points that we've been trying to get across and have been getting across by the grace of God. And I thought I would just read some of these points and let you feel the expression of someone who's listening far outside of our walls to these faith messages. And it says, good morning, Brother Bronk. Got up this morning and printed the notes, read through them with the notes that I had already taken. Wonderful review. The way the Lord has you approaching faith has been refreshing to me. I'm so glad He has brought people like my pastor, you and Gary, and he names Pastor Dave, into my life. Because of your teaching, the Holy Spirit doesn't have to lay that groundwork in my spirit. He can simply build upon it. You've said some things that were not part of your notes that have really blessed me in this series so far. And for example, he says this, number one, there is a place called done in the spirit and in the natural. God wants to bring the two places together. Before it's done in the natural, you have to conclude that it's done in the spirit. You later talked about faith is a decision that requires action. And he said, I love this. In your notes, most people, this is what the note said that he reiterated on, most people want a miracle, but want God to leave them alone. The miracle comes now, but if you don't change the thing that caused you to need the miracle, then the Holy Spirit will start talking to you. Why? Because you're not doing what it takes to change the root. And if you'll remember, that came out in some of those lessons on wisdom and how the Holy Spirit will come back from a place of where our faith is calling things into existence and begin to talk to us about changes that need to take place. And those things can be as simple as exercise, diet, job change, dead-end roads that won't take you any place, a lot of practical things. The Holy Spirit is practical. He's spiritual, but He's practical. Satan robs us by having us to think spending a lot of time in prayer is the key. Wow, did I say that? Did we teach on that? Yes, we did, in a great sense of the word. So when that doesn't happen, we feel like we're not doing everything we need to do. It's more about consistency than the long enduring hours. Just because your mind, is another point he makes, just because your mind is under intense warfare, that does not mean that faith isn't working in your heart. Brother Bronk, for many folks, I know your series is worth gold for this statement alone. Brother Bronk, I just thought you'd be blessed to know that what you're teaching is appreciated and nourishing. Thank you for being so willing to share your notes. I'm filing them away in my spirit so that when the opportunity arises, I'll be able to speak to the needs of our heavenly, or to the needs of our Father's people. And much love, he says. And so isn't that great? That's really wonderful. I felt that was really, really great. And I think just from the standpoint of some of the things that he surmised. Well, we do have notes. Would you please, a couple of you guys, just for, so you'll have something if you want to scribble on and so you can follow along with me. We're going to kind of review just for a moment, but I'll wait till you get those. We could have maybe passed those out earlier, but I didn't think about it. So that's good. Hallelujah. Everything is casual. Everything is laid back because we're just at home, right? We have our shoes off, propped up on the couch. Hallelujah. I hope you have a livable house. I don't like to go to somebody's house and say, and they say, no, don't, you can't sit there. You can't sit there. Furniture is so you can put your feet up on it and watch TV or something, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's how this house is. We can just kick our shoes off, figuratively. And literally, if your feet are washed, too. If not, we'll wash them. What's that? Except for who? Oh, the recliner. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. So I'm going to do like, for all you sports fans, this is like a pardon the interruption kind of thing. We're just going to go a two-minute review on, hopefully just 2 minutes, on last week's lesson. And last week's lesson, we referred to it as most holy faith. And of course, that's out of Jude 20. And most holy faith kind of / the missing element. We're not going to necessarily go through our trophy demonstration tonight because we've been using that for several weeks, and that should be in you by now. If you have not heard the trophy illustration, go to 1-9 and you can hear it. And it was really good. Hallelujah. But we're going to talk about Jude chapter what? What chapter should we go through to in Jude? Oh, you guys are getting smarter already. The only chapter and verse 20. So that's where we'll start tonight. We're just having a good time in here. It says, "Beloved, but ye beloved, building yourself up, or building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now we'll talk about that scripture for a few moments tonight, because that has everything to do with what we call what we're calling the missing element to faith. And we talked about last week, why are things not working to the degree that they should? I don't know where I'm at on the percentage of prayers being answered. I really don't try. It doesn't help me to try to figure out if I'm a 25%er, a 50%er. I'll tell you this. I don't like it, and I don't feel guilty, and I don't feel condemned, but I don't like it at this point in time, in a good way. I mean this in a good way. When one of my grandkids, you could use multiple examples, but if one of my grandkids, if you're a parent with kids in the house, one of your kids, when you pray for them and they've got a fever or a sore throat or something like that, I don't like it when it has to run its course. I want it to go away, and I want it to go away now. And I'm seeing results. We prayed for Aubrey last night, and this morning she was doing really, really good, or today. So we quickened the process. She had some kind of stomach virus thing that came, and she was with us, and then we took her home, and then it happened, and she started throwing up, and then she had the fever, and then one of the other grandkids had that, that's not living with either of my daughters, but you know the five that we've basically adopted. And they weren't around us, and we got them at the latter part of it, and it took a few days for that. So it was a few day kind of deal. So what I'm saying is we're seeing an abbreviation, and I'm happy with the abbreviation, but I don't like praying prayers and then any kind of stuff staying around. I'm dissatisfied with that. And I'm looking at it in a standpoint like, well, what do we do? Do we just put up with it, or we just say there's no condemnation? We can't do that. We've gone too far. We can't get under condemnation because that doesn't help. We know that He's not the problem, and we're really not the problem ourselves in Him. As long as we keep staying in Him, He doesn't look at us as the problem. So where's the gap? How do we close the gap? And it's through knowledge. It's through wisdom. It's through dying. It's through intimacy. It's through fellowship. It's through all of these things. It's all pieces of a puzzle that's put together, but it's all in Him. He's the administrator. I'm so glad that I don't have to figure it all out, because He's the reminder. He's the one that'll tell me where, okay, you need to pick it up here, you know, and pull it up here. And so faith, according to Jude 20, where were we at last week? We talked about, and we will say something about Jude verse 20 in just a moment, but Hebrews 6, we talked about the diligence and how it's rewarded. We said that really that Hebrews 11, 6 says that without faith it's impossible to please Him, but those who come before Him must believe that He is, number one, He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, I defined for you, and I hope that you agree, and these notes are for you to make comments, or, you know, it's really more important for you to listen to what He's saying about what I'm saying than even what I'm saying. Does that make sense? His commentary to you is much more important. So, the diligence is one thing. We oftentimes mistake diligence for a cubicle and a certain amount of hours that we spend. And we're not trying. All we can be is humans trying to teach you a place of diligence, like have a prayer closet, spend time. Windshield time is very important. We said that. And for those of you that are listening, we call windshield time as time when you're just riding down the road or doing your activities, but praying in the Holy Ghost. That's very, very important. But in the diligence is really defined as more of it's a place of you longing to, it's a place of the heart, really. It's a place where you say, whatever time I can stuff into my day of putting an effort or putting a place of faith into worship, praying in tongues. Because when we miss those cubicles, we can often feel, or at least the enemy can try to make us feel like we're less than. And that's not the way that the Father wants us to feel. He wants us to walk in such an assurance, that the same kind of assurance that Jesus walked in, that He's always in the present, He's always in the now, with not even a thought. And I think this is, for all of us who want to, in a real good sense of the word, it's so easy for us to think about sometimes, not all the times, when we get ready to be a part of that miracle or a part of this, that, or the other. Because we are diligent and because we are earnest, it's easy for us sometimes to fade off into what was my last experience? Where am I at right now? And those contemplations are really not even in the Holy Ghost. He wants us to stay in a place of confidence always and understand that diligence is a place of the earnestness of the heart. It's not a timetable, it's an earnestness of the heart. But He's a rewarder of those. I can see that 2 minutes has already went by. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The rewarder is this, and I hope that you agree, I hope you understand that it's really self-imposed. It's not like this. You've been good. Daddy's going to take you to the park. Okay? I'm going to give you ice cream because you have, you know, you may reward your kids in a certain sense in that way. Okay, clean your room and you get a reward. But this is not like you spent 3 hours yesterday, 2 hours today. You're pretty much meeting your quota. I'll come and do what you want me to do. That is not what, it's never like that. That's a sense of works. What spending time does, and what combination of windshield and cubicle time spent, what all those things do for us is they open up a window in our heart of authority, so that really we're self-imposing the reward. In other words, it's really on us. It's always there for Him. He always wants to give it to us, but it's not like, I'm so happy with you. I know He's happy that we're spending time, but it's not like, I'm happy with you, and so you spent your time, here's the ice cream sundae because of, you know, what you did. That's not it. Or here's favor. All of a sudden, you know, you get a check in the mail, and and or people show you favor, you know, some door in the natural opens up for you, a business deal comes through or whatever, and you feel God in it. And it's easy to equivocate in your thinking, like, this is favor, and it is favor, but it's not favor like you did a whole bunch of, you know, stuff, and now you get the reward. He is a reward, but here's the reward. It's kind of self-imposed based on you're just going into a place that's always been, and you're pushing back all of the darkness of the flesh and all of the arguments of what Satan is trying to do against you to just openly receive that. Jude 20 is amazing because these words, most holy faith, we talked about last week about not just throwing faith bombs at your mountain. If your mountain is personal, or if your mountain is what you're asked to do for somebody to pray, you're going to lay hands on them, or you're going to believe God. I described faith bombs like this: blatant faith will work. In other words, if you are, I said this last week, a lot of the church at large is copy and paste Christians. You know, when you find something here on this website and you want to put it on a document someplace else, you just copy it here and then you're going to paste it later. We hear, but we're not, we go home and we say, okay, I'm going to paste this on my life. And basically that's like, I accept what he just said. And I want you to accept it. When you tell me, Pastor, it was a great service, listen, don't stop doing that. That helps me. I like it. I love it. Is it flesh? I don't know. I like it. I appreciate it, I should say. But copy and paste is this: if you just accept it, but you don't do the elements inside of it. In other words, if there's an application to do and you're not doing the application, then only you've appreciated something, but you're not part of it. It's not being experienced. Faith bombs are like, I heard him say that if we speak to the mountain, it'll go away. Now, blatant faith will work. Blatant faith, how do you describe blatant faith? Let's see. Picking this verse, and it's close to what I need, okay? I'm going to speak to the mountain based on that verse. That works, because blatant faith works. And I'm so glad it works. I'm so glad that this word is so concluded in heaven that it always works. In other words, if you don't feel saved, you are saved. If you got saved and somebody gave you a testimony, when I got saved, I felt like 1,000,000 pounds came off of me. And that happens most of the time. People feel a very different presence in their mind. But if that did not happen and you still felt yucky, but yet you said, I really meant that. I really meant it when I said Jesus come into my life. I can show you through the Word of God that the Word says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They shall be saved. End of, well, what did I, what, you don't know what I've done. I mean, I might have done this. I might have done that. I might have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I might have, you know, I might not be able to get back. Listen, if you call on the name of the Lord sincerely, you shall be saved. He'll come. The Holy Spirit will honor those words. He will come and you will be saved. So, I can take any word and throw a faith bomb at my mountain every day and speak to it. But you know what? We were not built as New Testament Christians to just work in blatant faith. In other words, just to take what somebody else gave us, even a preacher, and make those acclamations, like, again, copy and paste. We were made for a paraclete, a comforter, somebody to come alongside of us. Building up on your most holy faith really means something. It means these things we read last week: clean, pure, chaste, without mixture, and brooded over. In other words, there's a reason why he said praying in the Holy Ghost is the most cleanest prayer
Why? Because when you pray other prayers, you're apt to put your own self in there sometimes, which is a mixture. Praying in the Holy Ghost, you've heard this many, many times before, but it's just another application of it. Praying the Holy Ghost is a pure prayer. You can't mess it up. And because it's pure, it will build you up on your most holy. Most holy means it is a pure prayer. And if it's a very pure prayer, it's going to get answered. It is going to get answered. It's a chaste prayer. It's without, it's not, it doesn't have the mixture of the flesh in there. And so, and also part of a comparative word there means brooded over. So the Holy Spirit has taken action in that. In essence, what I'm saying is this. We were meant for the Holy Spirit to come along and help us in our faith. That's intimate faith. Picking out a word and throwing it at the devil will work, even when you're not sure all the meaning of that word. That will work. But the Holy Spirit wants to come and brood over you, put His arm around you, and teach you how to walk through your specific trial. If you've got something going on in your body, you should be spending enough time that you're hearing what particular scriptures or what particular confessions fill that void inside of me. That I feel when I speak these confessions, they light up something on the inside of me. What is the Holy Spirit bringing to me? What has He said to me? We have a comforter. When Gary Carpenter was here, I think he got me started on this too. And if he listens to this particular message, I say, thank you, Gary. Because one of the things he said to me when we were talking, riding around, and he had listened to some of these messages during that week, and he said, it's all about how that Jesus, you know, the miracles and faith, it's all about how that Jesus worked so closely with the Holy Spirit. How that He walked in such a place that He co-labored, collaborated, worked with, in an intimacy, always hearing how the Holy Spirit wanted to do that. To perform that. That was the will of the Father. And Jesus, I'm trying to remember some of the words He actually used, but you get the gist of it. That's it. We were never meant, I'm reading some of my notes now, to live in blatant faith alone. Jesus co-labored with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this, and these are worth taking more than 2 minutes. Old Testament heroes, those ones in Hebrews 11, Old Testament heroes could not. Here's the difference. They could not sit down and deliberately, I didn't put deliberately in there, but it deserves it, build Himself up on their most holy faith and co-author a personal plan of action with the Holy Spirit to win at whatever they were believing God for. David couldn't do it. Abraham couldn't do it. Why? Because they weren't born again and they weren't Spirit-filled. Here's the beauty of the new nature. Here's the beauty of the testament that we live in. We can deliberately. And it never ceases to amaze me. And I'm not necessarily talking about you guys, because you guys are here. You guys understand this message really strong. But it never ceases to amaze me that people that love me and love this church and are kind of on the fringes, that when I talk to them about praying in tongues, I find out that really, and some of them have just blatantly told me, you know, just been honest enough, and I wasn't questioning them like an interrogation, but they still, no matter hearing the message, they just don't do it. They don't do it. I'm not talking about having cubicles of spending an hour or two a day. I'm just talking about sitting down at any time and just periodically praying in tongues. They just don't do it. And so if you don't do it, how many of you know, here's real rocket science, it won't help. It, no matter what. Christians, now here, we just said Old Testament believers, not born again people, but believers, could not activate this most holy faith. Christians that do not speak with tongues cannot utilize this particular virtue of God to bring into existence the pure mind of Christ in believing
for their answers. If they do not speak in tongues, listen, they can be born again. But this particular virtue, okay, you can get some Baptist people, good people, Methodist people, people that love God can go to the Word and get something good, but they cannot utilize this particular most holy faith. This is saying something that you get this by this particular way. You build up your most holy, clean, virtuous faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I like this. Not because it makes me better than somebody else, but it gives me an edge against the devil in the flesh. Believe it or not, yes you do, Christians that do speak with tongues and do not exercise the gift cannot utilize this particular virtue of God to bring into existence the pure mind of Christ in believing. Christians that speak with tongues and do not exercise the gift, cannot utilize this particular virtue of God to bring into existence the pure mind of Christ in believing for their answer. In other words, what we just said, if you got it but you don't use it, it won't help. It just won't help. If he sits there dormant, you can have it, you can have him, but it just won't help. Simply put, praying in tongues carries a particular virtue or blessing to our faith that cannot be obtained any other way except by doing it. In other words, you can be born again, spirit-filled, have the capacity to speak in tongues, hear a good teaching of truth concerning faith, then begin to put into practice what you have heard someone else teach you to be true, yet it will not have the impact until the Holy Spirit is able to personalize that truth to your life. He does this by building you up on your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Ghost. And so that's Jude 20, verse 20. And so that's consistent, constant communication. That's the thing that we're wanting to get across to you tonight, constant communication with the Holy Spirit, how it works. Now, we're really in Faith 101, so this is stuff that you've heard and heard and heard and heard. But let's go back and break it down some more again, and that's in 1 Corinthians 14. Now, I think there's a debate in heaven that Mark did not write Mark 11, 23 and 24. They think that Pastor or Kenneth Hagin wrote that. And I think that there'll be a debate in heaven that Paul did not write 1 Corinthians 14, that Pastor Dave actually co-authored that with him. And so you've heard him speak on this time and time again. But let's look at some real 101 stuff in 1 Corinthians 14, 1. It says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him while he is, and I'm kind of adding to this, understands him while he is speaking in this unknown tongue, because, howbeit in the Spirit, he is speaking mysteries, or, as you have heard before, divine secrets. He's going back. He's volleying. He's teaching on prophecy and personal tongues for edification, and how that works in the church and how it works for the individual. It says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, three parts, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification, as you've heard and as you hear again tonight, edification means edifice or building or to build up. And he says in prophecy in the church, you get a build up. When you hear a prophecy, something happens. It builds your faith, and it builds it like a building being built, a structure, an edifice being put together. Jude 20, building us up on our most holy faith. Now that's praying in tongues. That's the personal part. But an edifice, an edification is a strengthening. It's a edification of what you already are. In other words, your born-again human nature has life in it, but that life is anointed by the Holy Ghost. It's a two-part thing. And when the Holy Spirit begins to pray for you, that life is energized and it comes to full capacity.
in prophecy, when it's a true prophecy and it's heard, it builds up. It can build up, just like praying in tongues can build up on the most holy faith. In a certain sense, prophecy builds up. But tongues, as we said before, has its own virtue. You cannot just hear prophecy and get the same effect as praying in tongues. So building up is an edification. That's what prophecy does. The next one it says there is what? Exhortation. Exhortation is direction. Now, it can be other things too, but these all kind of dovetail if you look up the definitions. But exhortation is like, listen to what I'm saying because I'm going to give you direction for the next little part of your life. It may be direction for tonight. It may be direction for next week. It may be direction for the next 10 years. You get edification because of exhortation. In other words, you get stronger as a result of knowing the future, as a result of hearing something and seeing something. And then the last part is comfort. As a result of prophecy, comfort will come. And I like to think of comfort as a big part and partisan to worship. Because I tell you, when I worship and I'm part in, I come out of worship, all of us do. When we're listening to some of those beautiful songs that Matt plays back there and we're all in worship or in our private worship, there's something that happens, especially if it ever gets to a place of washing. If it gets to a place of yielding and washing, it seems like in that washing, you feel, coming out of it, invincible. And it's not an invincibility based on, you know, that you have mandated, I can do this, and I am, you know, I'm convincing myself that there is something in the comfort of God, that is the peace of God, that assures you that all of tomorrow's they're settled, they're done. It's a comfort that could go into an insane asylum with demon-possessed people all around you and not contemplate your worth, not contemplate your ability. You're just so secure, just snug as a bug in the rug in the Father. And that's where Jesus was at. And that's that you could go into a prison. You could go into, you know, maximum security. You can go into those places where hell is raging in your family and you're called over or an emergency room or whatever. And you go in there with confidence because there's a comfort that's in your life. And that place is best, it's best lived in, if you can live in that. But we have to go and get our daily portion of it. It's so important. And yielding, you heard me pray a prayer tonight by the Holy Spirit. Yielding is such a major part of that. Just learning how to yield. So all those things take place. A strengthening, a building up because of a direction. You understand the exhortation. And a comfort like, oh man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I already feel like I got the check in the mail before the mail gets here. I already feel like somebody give me a checkbook. No, don't give me mine because I can't use it. But I feel like I'd write $1 million check. I just feel like I'm healed. Yeah, it's there. I mean, you know, yeah, the pain's still there. The discomfort's there. But I can just tell you without lying, I am healed. And it's just a witness way down on the inside. That's faith 101 because you go to a place where that all takes place. Well, that's prophecy. Because he says those three things take place in prophecy. But he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, in verse 4, he does what? He edifies himself. He just says one of the three that we just listened, or that we just listed there. He that prays in an unknown tongue or speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesieth, now this is important, catch this, and you probably have before, but he that prophesieth edifieth the what? Church. Now, just prior in the previous verse, he lists prophecy having three parts. But when he lists prophecy again, the second time, he just says prophecy edifies. In other words, he uses the word edify to encompass all three parts. Well, there's an equal sign here. It's an equal, I don't know what you call that in math. Somebody can tell me afterwards, but it's equal. They're equal too. He basically is saying you get from praying in tongues the exact same benefits because I will use the word edify to define both edification,
personally and edification in the church. In other words, these are equal signs. What happens in the church, all three parts, also happens, all three parts, in the individual as they pray in tongues. In other words, I will get edified, built up, strengthened. What I am already, I will become more of. I will be built up. I will be exhorted. In other words, personal direction will become part of my life. In other words, the future is where I'm headed in the Holy Spirit, and He wants to get over to me a constant place of understanding my future and a constant place of feeling in that comfort that comes through peace. As I pray in tongues, worship brings peace, but praying in tongues also brings a peace. It brings a peace. It brings a steadiness and a settlement to the mind so that you can, man, you just feel, if you'll spend time, you'll just feel that sense of peace, and it also bring forth that sense of invincibility. Now, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, we want to just look at just a few examples. We're not going to look at all these examples that I've got listed, the last part here in Scripture. We're just going to say them, but we are going to read John 16, verse 13, and let's look at that together. Jesus is speaking. These are the holy, for me, the holy grail of the Word. I love John 13 through 17, such beautiful words. But in verse 13, Jesus says this, "Howbeit, when He," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Now, what we have to understand there is this. He's going to guide us into all truth, and that truth is primarily His Word. We know that. But all truth that is applicable to your life. In other words, faith 101, or faith that really materializes, the thing that gets my grandkid with their nose dried up a lot quicker, what causes the back pain to go away a lot quicker, what causes the miracle to manifest where it usually used to just have to live itself out. And we gave God the praise that we weren't as more sicker, you know, while we were going through it. But here's the thing. We want to see the dots connect now. And He wants to see the dots connect now. And He will show us things to come. Showing us things to come was not eschatology. It is and is not. Eschatology is end time events. He is a prophesier. The apostles told us of what would happen at the end. John had the revelation of Jesus given to him on the Isle of Patmos, which is the book of Revelation. We see end times events. He's showing the church things to come. But it is much more practical than that. He will show you things to come on your daily life. He will show you things to come in your future. If you're spending time with Him and praying in the Holy Spirit and giving yourself over to the Holy Spirit, how invincible do you feel that you would be if you constantly could be in a place where either by visualization or by a dream the night before, or you heard something or you saw something that you knew what was in front of your day? Would that give you confidence even when the bad news came or when somebody asked you to pray? It would just constantly give you, and that's where Jesus co-labored with the Holy Spirit. He knew that constantly He was like, when they came and asked of Him, He had to move in faith too. He had to move. He moved, yes, He was Logos, but He moved through His human spirit that was in life and in line with the Father. And so when He saw so much of His day in front of Him, and this is the co-laboring that we have to have with the Holy Spirit. Faith works like this. It's not supposed to be just blatant. Blatant faith will help you, but co-laboring faith moistens the ground. It's not supposed to be dry ground that we're ministering out of. It's supposed to be moist ground
oil-saturated ground, oil with the Holy Spirit, so that we're moving and it's two parts. We're going to do what we're supposed to do, but we're also hearing. As we hear, we speak, and as we speak, we believe, because we already begin to see much of what our day is or what our future is in front of us. And this is one example. We'll read this because you're right there in John. This is when Jesus fed the 5,000 plus men, women, and children, which could have been, who knows, 20,000 maybe. A lot of people. John 6. It says in verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went into a mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was at hand or nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great multitude that was coming unto him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, he asked that question. He's seeing this whole group, and that had to be joyous. You're out in the wilderness, and it had to be a great joy to look up and see people that were really, you know, they were hungry for miracles they wanted to see, and just thousands of them coming across the horizon, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them coming. And man, I say that's what's happening in Immokalee. That's what's happening among us. And they were coming, and it just had to excite the disciples, and it had to excite Jesus as he was sitting there, and this great company was coming. We know how great that company was. It was 5,000 plus men, women, and children. And he said to Philip, he said these words. He says, where shall we buy the bread that all these may eat? Because he knew that, you know, that these people were going to be hungry. And I like verse 6. It says, and this he said to prove him for himself, for he himself, that's Jesus, knew what he would do. Isn't that neat? He said to Philip, where are we going to buy bread to feed all these? But he said that to prove Philip, because the word says that he already knew what he was going to do. He already knew. And I like that, because that reiterates or redefines what I'm saying about the contemplation of our future every day, how that when we, if we'll spend the time, the Holy Spirit really, really wants to get part of this over to us, that we're to, not part of it, all of it over to us, and this is a part of it, I'm saying, is that when we co-labor with Him, it's, again, I like this. You're not throwing faith bombs at something. You're co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. You're asking Him that one of those precious parts of what Jesus, here's a perfect example. Jesus did a lot of things, and I listed some of those things that I just thought of. I didn't give you a verse, and you could probably think of a lot more. You could probably, if we spent a little time, you could say, what about this? What about that? What about this? But this in John 6 that we just read, he already knew what he was going to do. How did he already knew what he was going to do? I'm contemplating that way before it happened, the Holy Spirit showed him a crowd coming, and he showed him himself sitting down with a boy's lunch, 5 barley loaves. That boy was out there. They didn't say we have a young man here, a lad. It says a lad. We don't have a lad. We don't have a lad with his family. It just says we have a lad. It was his lunch. It was his portion, you know. So it was not much bigger than a Happy Meal. I mean, it was just little thing, you know. And so, but Jesus had to see something along that lines of him performing a miracle of multiplication. So he already knew when he asked Philip. How long did he know? I don't know if he got up that morning and saw it. I don't know if he was moving about and saw what he was going to do, but he already knew before the crowd came over the horizon. And so co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, what if you go about your day? What if you wait enough
And I'm not talking about just waiting in a cubicle, but waiting as you're going about, before you do what you do, is there an impression? Is there a slight impression? Is there a visualization? Or is there something that sinks you in, sinks you with the Holy Spirit, so that your mind is His mind and His mind is your mind, that about what you're about to do absolutely takes you in a place where faith is not dry, faith is wet, faith is full of strength, faith is the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit. A few more examples in other scripture. There's the feeding of the 4,000 plus men, women, and children. And not only did Jesus see all these things and understand all these things, but if you look at how that He said, this is how I want it to take place, I want you to have the men sit down in 50s, He saw that. It was, some of it He may have seen as it was about to take place, but He was co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. The loaves and fishes with the 4,000 was the same kind of example. Peter's taxes, go down, put a hook in the water, pull out the first fish. That's the one that'll have a coin in its mouth. Go pay your tax and my tax, the temple tax. He had to see those things. He had to hear those things. He didn't just say, okay, I think this is a neat way for me to exercise my faith. He had to hear as Peter comes in from being accused from people, he had to hear. Did he hear it the night before? I don't know. Did he hear it in the middle of the night? Did he hear it that morning at breakfast? Did he hear it as he was standing there? But he was always in sync with the Holy Spirit. Go and do this, and this is what will happen. Peter's taxes, the blind man washing his eyes. Jesus, He didn't do things just for show off. He was synced in with the Holy Spirit, which was the mind of the Father, which was the finger of God, spit in His hand, make clay, put it on the man's eyes, and go wash in a certain pool. Go wash. Do this. He had to see these things. He had to hear these things. Fingers, remember, fingers in an ear, spit, tongue on finger on tongue. He cast out that deaf and dumb devil. You know, hallelujah. These things seem bizarre, but they're not bizarre. They're listening and they're walking with the Holy Spirit. Water to wine. He says, fill all these, and this is what's going to happen. He saw those things, disciples casting nets, do this on this side, this is what will happen. The reiteration of faith is this. If we co-labor with the Holy Spirit, even in what we know to do, if we've done it before and we know it's the mind of Christ, even we pray over our children, even when we pray over things that we know that we can just take a blatant sense of the Word and speak, when you're about to pray, when you're about to speak, you have a pause button on the inside. Allow that pause button to be pushed. It only takes a second. Listen to the voice. Listen to the visualization. Listen to what is being spoken to you, because there's a co-laboring with the Holy Spirit that will make faith work for you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're blessed. We are blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. Hallelujah. And Olivia, will you place the offering baskets out? If you are blessed, and I know that you are, if you would please consider what you would give the Lord, or bless the house with tonight as you go out of here. And we appreciate it. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to bless you and bless this offering. And we appreciate your gifts so much. Thank you for coming. Wonderful. We're getting you out before 9, and we need to do that sometimes. And we've been doing that on this faith series. We want to get you home and get you some rest. Father, we bless this time. We bless this offering. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Co-laboring with Him is everything. We thank you. We pray that for those who are listening around the world and in other states, that they will also be blessed and be part of what we're doing here, that they will speak into existence and co-labor with the Holy Spirit over every part of their life. Lord, we bless this time and this offering and the giving to this church and to this body. in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you.